My headache won't go away.
I get blurry vision.
My balance is awful.
I'm exhausted.
We can all get these symptoms from time to time. But if you or a loved one notice you're getting a combination of them regularly, don't ignore it. They could be signs of a brain tumour.
My headache won't go away.
I get blurry vision.
My balance is awful.
I'm exhausted.
To learn more about the common signs of a brain tumour, search Better Safe Than Tumour.
Welcome to Let's Talk About Brain Tumours, the podcast where we'll be talking to people who've been affected by a brain tumour diagnosis, either their own diagnosis or the diagnosis of a loved one. We'll also be sharing news and updates from the Brain Tumour Charity about what we're doing to halve the harm and double survival. Welcome to the podcast. Myself and Andy are joined by Rhys, Jess and Kate, and we're going to be talking about seizures, which we know is often the first sign many people have that something is going on. So welcome to the podcast and thank you all for joining us today and being prepared to talk about your experiences of seizures.
Hi guys, welcome to Jess, Kate and Rhys. Hopefully you can talk a little bit first about your experiences with seizures, how they happen, how they started, what your diagnosis is as well in terms of your brain tumour, if you're okay talking with that. Jess, did you want to go first and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, hi. So I was diagnosed with a brain tumour when I was 15 and there was no signs or anything really. Looking back, there were signs, but what led to the actual diagnosis was one big seizure in the middle of the night. It was a full big seizure, completely unconscious, like on the floor, fell out of bed, banged my head on the wall, concussed myself, peed the bed, complete everything that was just out of my control happened. And then I woke up and there was a paramedic on my bed and I was like, what's going on? And then we ended up calling an ambulance to go to hospital. And that led to the scans, which led to the tumour. They didn't find out exactly what it was till my first surgery. And I've got what I had, an anaplastic astrocytoma grade 3. And it was really big. It was easily the size of my fist and my right temporal lobe. It was huge. And they told me that this has probably been growing since I was really small. And I just had absolutely no idea it was there. It wasn't doing anything wrong. It was just growing. And then it reached a size which was too big, pushed on things in my brain, and then that caused the seizure. So that's how it led to that.
That was pretty scary at the time because that was your first introduction to this world, I guess.
Yeah, it was, but it was weird because I had no idea it was going on. I just woke up from it. It's like I didn't experience a seizure because I didn't see myself having it. I even feel like it was worse for my mum who saw it because I don't even know that I'm flopping around like a fish on the floor. And she's there watching me like choking on my own spit. So I think it's a lot scarier for her. I just wake up and get put in a bed and I'm like, huh? Why does my head hurt?
Kate, did you want to just take us quickly through your history?
I started having seizures in 2009 when I was 13. My mum took me to the doctors and they passed it off as puberty. And then after about having over 250, she took me back in 2011 and demanded, they found out why I was having them and discovered that I had a pilocytic astrocytoma, which was causing them. But then last year when I had surgery, they found it was a totally different tumour. Now it's a ganglioblioma, but apparently they're similar. I have simple partial and complex partial seizures, so I don't fall or convulse. I just go completely unaware. I say the word no and dizzy over and over again, so it's a bit weird.
What, every single time you have one, you say that, those same words?
Yeah, specific, it's... Yeah. So, well, I don't know I'm saying it. This, everything I do, other people have told me I do. Like, I've never had it videoed, so I've never seen it. And I was put on medication. I finally got seizure-free in 2021, so it took me 10 years to find the right dose and medication. And, yeah.
How many did you say you had?
Well, I kept a diary. So I've got every seizure I have every month since about 2009, had about 250 before I was diagnosed. And I could show this to the doctor when we went, and they still said it was nothing to worry about kind of thing.
Crazy, absolutely crazy.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Reese, did you want to just take us through your history, if you don't mind?
So I had seizure activity, I suppose, towards the end of 2019, start of 2020. But I just got off my headaches. I was sick a few times. I physically vomited. I was working for Flybe, so same way you lease a car, you lease an aircraft. And I was looking stupid, I was at work. So migraines weren't a million miles away. So I was given some tumotriptan by my GP. It made no difference. It's like, right, okay, referred me into neurology. And then my mum, who's a nurse, she's convinced that, no, this is seizure activity, because I was stumbling whilst I was walking. She gave me a Spexis appointment, and she said, the obstetrician came out, he had a face on him, ran to obey, shot on telephone. It's urgent, but it's not, like, super urgent. So this is Friday, and I had an appointment to go into Torbay on Monday. And then come Saturday, I woke up on the floor, and a paramedic found me. He was like, what's going on? I said, you've collapsed on the floor of the toilet. They'll take me in if you want to go in, but it's not much point because they'll tell you you've been referred into neurology, so wait for that appointment. And then Monday came, I showed my exams, OrCumac negative. I showed a lump behind my eye causing papilledema, urgent head CT, showed central neurocytoma. I was pretty unwell because I'd had hydrocephalus, had mass effect, 1.5 centimeter herniation. So I was taken down to Dareford, back of an ambulance at 1 a.m. And apparently the plan was, Mr. Whitfield was meant to perform a surgery and he wasn't available till the end of the week. And Monday, I'd been gone to the toilet for a good 45 minutes. A person called Sophie next to me went to go and find me. Then she got Mr. Hayden. He found him on the floor, picked him off the floor of the toilet, spoke to mum, he's the next nurse. He said, he's back to the fact he's your son. What is your professional opinion, young man? She said, his cognitive ability has deteriorated significantly. And he managed to get my tumor out, but I had a bleed. So back in surgery, 18 hours of it.
And have you been seizure-free since you realised you had?
So apparently, start of August 2020, I had an absent seizure, which I don't remember at all. December 2020, I had a full-on tonic-clonic seizure. That's been the verge of getting propofol, being out to ICU because I wouldn't stop seizuring. And then come mid-August 2021, so because I don't remember it per se, but I remember leaning outside my bed. And it's just weird because I remember pulling my door. Basically, at the time, I don't have my little sister, a girl called Lucy, to find me. She went to her father and she was like, oh, we see you next to his room. And she's like, no, it's all right. It's all right. It's only playing. I remember my bed being on the side and my arms at some weird angle and thinking, oh, God, now I'm having a seizure. She went and found me and she went to my dad. He was like, said, Lucy's on the floor shaking and being really silly. He walked in, found me on the floor, turned it chronic. Called an ambulance, paramedic turned up, one look at me, said, no, give me a full-blown ambulance. Wouldn't stop seizuring. Apparently, my mate called Slade, he's an ambulance controller, and he said he was really surprised, didn't send out an ambulance for me because it's a good half-hour seizure. Now my hand joggers again, seizuring.
A long time.
Yeah. Took me to the ED, to obey. Again, I had 3 subsequent seizures as a result. They debated propofol, taking me up to intensive care unit. I was inside for about 3 days, give or take. So I've maxed out on Keppra 1,250 milligrams twice a day. Around about this time of last year, I had a seizure. Well, I say seizure, my pupils went really funny and my hairs and then stood up. I had palpitations, like really severe palpitations. I had this really weird like feeling. It's a war, it's like those are really tight feeling.
From what you just described, Reese, about the hairs standing on end and palpitations, I described that as a simple partial seizure, so I count that as a seizure. So I have them ones where I just feel like out of body, like deja vu. Like I'm in a complex, different, like parallel universe.
Yeah, I don't know, it's weird war type thing. You don't quite know what's going on as such.
You're still thinking, like you still know where you are, but it's definitely not normal.
Deja vu, that's the first thing I ever said. Feel like you're dreaming, but you know you're not.
Yeah, so when you say deja vu, because my interpretation of deja vu is you you're remembering something you think you've remembered before. Is it like that?
Yeah, it's like you've got, every time you go into one, it's like you've got this thought in the back of your head that you're trying to like reach and you can't, and you know it's not like a real thought, but it's still like forcing its way to you. And then when you're gone, it's like you can't remember the feeling, but then you come back into it again, you're like, oh, it's another one of these, and then you lose it again when you come back round.
I always also get like jamais vu, which no one's ever heard of, which is like it's the same place, but something looks different, but you can't tell what's different. So like my bedroom might look the same, but slightly different, but I can't.
And is that when you're actually having the actual seizure itself?
That's when I'm still aware and just feel weird. But the other ones, when I have the other type of seizure, the complex partial, I'm totally unaware and I don't get a warning. And I'm just...
What would be the difference if to somebody who's looking at you, seeing those two different types of seizures, what would it look like to somebody else?
The simple partial, just like now, I could carry on as we were. I'd just be feeling really weird. I might like not answer, well, I would answer a question, but I wouldn't on purpose keep involved with the conversation, but I would be able to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could pretend that you're not having one and carry on a conversation.
Yeah, the complex partial ones, I'd be totally unaware. You could be doing anything and I wouldn't know.
Would it look like you were like fully present like you are now and we would just be like waiting for you to answer maybe?
No, the complex ones, I'd be saying no and dizzy over and over again and I might be holding your hand.
Oh, so is this something that triggers the seizure? It sounds like you get a bit of a warning if different types if you're going to have them. Is there? Because I know it's completely separate. Like with migraines, people sometimes say if they eat chocolate or too much cheese or they don't sleep enough. Is there something you found in all your experiences of having the different types of seizures, something that triggers them that you can then hopefully try and modify how you do things to avoid having them or having less of them?
I think I'm still learning, really, what triggers things. And you pick it up over time. I think stress is a huge one for me. If I'm ever going through a really, like at work, I find when it's really, really busy and you've got a billion things and you're getting stressed and like trying to keep track of things, sometimes if there's too much going on, it's like my brain just kicks out and I need to stop. And that's when I'll like go in the corner, I'll hold onto a table or something. And I'll be conscious and I'll be perfectly aware, but I'll be having one of the partial seizures.
And you have tonic-clonic seizures. So you lose consciousness, you're on the floor shaking.
And I think they're the kind that most people associate with seizures, isn't it? I think most people perhaps don't even realise sometimes that they're having the partial seizures or the focal seizures. They don't know because there are different ways that there are different terms that people use for seizures, aren't there? What do you use, Jessie, for yours?
Well, I actually only recently found out what specific type mine is, and it's called a temporal partial seizure. And for years, when I've been trying to explain to people, even whilst I'm having a seizure, what it feels like, I've just been sprouting out these random vague terms and trying to explain it. And I thought, I must sound absolutely mad. And when I found out this definition for what a temporal seizure is, it had all of those vague words that I'd been spouting out. I thought, oh my God, I'm not crazy. Other people feel like this too.
Oh, that's good. Doesn't so if you'd have known sense. That at the start, that would have probably helped, wouldn't it?
It was just words. And I thought, I don't know how to explain this. And I've explained it exactly how everyone else has it.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Because before I had my diagnosis, I had these like weird war type, deja vu type things. And I don't remember them, but looking back on it, that was 100% seizure activity.
Well, it was.
Sure.
And when you've had a seizure, when you've had one of these moments, we know, Rhys, you've had one that's lasted a long time. But for you guys, how long do yours last and what's it like when you come out of it?
Mine are like my complex partial ones. Other people have told me about 3 minutes it lasts. So 3 minutes I'm talking rubbish, making weird facial expressions. And then it looks like I've come out of it. But then it takes me about 5 minutes to actually be able to continue what I was doing. Like my mum has said, other people have tried to get me to carry on as normal after I've stopped doing the weird things. And I can't. I have to be told what I was doing, where I am, and have a bit of time to come back.
How are you, Jess?
So mine lasts, I'd say, 30 seconds to a minute and a half, generally. If they're, I call them like bad seizures or nothing seizures. The little ones, like I can know I'm having them. I'm just like, oh, just having a little seizure. Don't worry about it. Carry on talking to me. And I'll know it's happening, but I can ignore it. It's no biggie. But then the bigger ones are when I actually have to stop. A lot of the time, if it is getting big and I know it gets like over, because you get a sense of like fear if they get big, like overpowering. So I'd ring someone. I ring my dad or my boyfriend or somebody, and also just stay on the phone because it's the fear of what if this does tip over into a proper seizure. It's just there so that I've got someone, I can calm myself down, and then I can say, okay, I'm fine now, it's gone. And that's about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Sorry, so it's not a major one, as you term it. Do you, I mean, for all of you, do you then, have you got the confidence to just carry on as you were? So you think, right, I've just had a seizure, I'm okay, I can carry on. Or does it mean you then have to go and lie down, or does it trigger anything else in terms of headaches? Or is it just a question of, right, that's it, it's finished now, I'll move on?
I've kind of learned to do that. And if it's a big one, I get really tired. And I know, yeah, I come home at the end of the day and I go to bed early. It's a little one. Generally, it's just take a second, have a breathe, carry on.
Because that's the thing with my seizures. I've noticed just after, I get really, really tired. Physically, I'm just knackered.
What about you, Kate? Can you sort of carry on after yours, or do you need to sort of take yourself out for a longer period of time?
Yeah, I just carry on. Because there was such a long time before I was diagnosed and no one really took me seriously and we didn't know what it was. Like, I was at school when mine started. My record was 7 in a day when I was at school. And I'd have it, that's like 3 minutes. I'd come around 5 minutes and I'd just stay in the classroom. No one would, like, the teachers knew and everyone obviously knew. But because, well, yeah, it wasn't just taken really seriously. I don't know if that's because I didn't fall down or convulse and it took me such a long time to get seizure control. But I think that was also my fault because I just got on with it.
Do you feel that because people's views of seizures are the tonic colonic, do you think that when you have partial seizures that people don't take them seriously, or they kind of expect you to carry on, so therefore you just do?
I think people just don't know about them. So, like, I wouldn't blame them. I just think, well, if you say seizure to someone, they think you fall down, so they get really worried. So I think it's just people just think that one type of seizure exists.
It sounds like there are quite a few different ones, so people coming at this fairly new. I'm like myself, I've got a brain tumour, but I'm lucky that I've never had a seizure. So I was probably falling into that camp as Sarah just described, of thinking that's a seizure, not realising you get all different types of seizure and different scales of seizure. Is that right?
I mean, I didn't have my partial seizures until, so I had my first main one, and then my second one was also an unconscious one, which I knew I was going into. I was sat with my mum on the end of the bed, and I said, "Mom, catch me." And I went down and I knew it was coming. I woke up in hospital. But after those two, it was after my first shunt surgery that I started having the partial seizures. So whilst I had the tumour, they were causing the big unconscious seizures. After that, it was the brain damage that has caused the partial seizures after that.
People don't think about that, do they? Because they think it's the tumour that's causing the seizure, but actually it's not always the tumour. Like you've just said, you've had your tumour removed, haven't you? And it's now the side effect of the fact that you had a tumour and the damage that tumour has now caused. So presumably they're going to be lifelong. They're just going to be something you're going to have to live with.
Yeah, I was just told I can't drive.
I had the simple partial ones before I started the medication. And then they stopped soon as I started taking medication. But I had surgery last January and I'm still not having complex partial ones, but I've started having the simple partial ones again. So that's kind of worrying.
You opted to have surgery, didn't you? Because of the impact of the seizures, because you're having so many of them, that was the reason that you decided to have surgery in the first place?
Yes, I wanted to drive, and you have to be a year free of seizures to drive, so yeah, my tumour wasn't putting my life in danger, but...
It's quality of life at the end of the day. It's a big factor for a lot of people, isn't it? I've known other people do what you did, Kate, and say, look, these seizures are ruining my life, and that they have a much bigger impact than just a bit of a funny turn.
Yeah, either of you been, or any of you been told actually what causes the seizure?
So I spoke to someone, oncologist, and she has just said, because of brain surgery, you know, have epilepsy as a result.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. Although I wasn't born with epilepsy, because I had brain surgery, now you have, as a result, unfortunately. It happens to some people, it doesn't happen to others.
Okay, and I was curious, because maybe it's just me then, because I had some gamma knife last year, and they said that the scar tissue afterwards might give a different pathway for electronic signals through the brain, which then might cause seizures. And I don't know if any of you had sort of, yeah, been sat down and said, right, the actual reason you're getting the seizures is because of this, rather than sort of the overall reason.
Because, I mean, when my tumour had been debunked, there's a fair bit of scar tissue around the area, so I assume that's a reason as to why I have seizures, because Mum said she's, it's like your brain's rewiring itself.
That's interesting, because maybe it's just me being a very old engineer, just finding out what actually does cause them. So, yeah, there's different pathways for the electric. So it almost short circuits the brain, if that makes sense. And that's why they're so different in different people and different extents, because brain is so complex. If you kind of short circuit part of it, it might have a different effect in terms of seizure.
Seizures from a brain tumour are often very different to seizures from epilepsy, in the sense that for a lot of people with epilepsy, there are certain triggers, flashing lights, for example.
Yeah, no, I mean, the only thing I will say is they tend to happen the same time of day, around 8 o'clock-ish, which is when I take my meds, so...
I can tell if I don't take my meds.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. The thing is, that, I feel amazing. Like, if I start to feel it really upbeat and like, oh my God, I feel great. Oh yeah, it's because I haven't had my tablets.
Yeah, no. Because I pretty much, like I said, I'm pretty religious. Like, give or take 5-10 minutes, around 8 o'clock, I'm...
That's
because
good.
Seizures up in around 8 o'clock.
For those that are new to sort of seizures, that might be listening to this podcast, are your lives reasonably good in terms of quality because you're on medication that controls the seizures? I wouldn't say you forget about them, but do they play a much less larger part in your life than they did before you were on the medication?
Now I've sorted out medication, yes. But for years, I've been on medication and it's not been right. Mainly it's been my mood. I felt numbed, like I didn't feel myself, and I could tell my emotions were blunted. I felt like I just didn't care. They were horrible. And so the past maybe year or 6 months, I've been telling my doctor I need to change, I want to change. And so we figured out a new thing that's working for me, and actually it's doing really well. It's the best I've got so far. So I think it's just a matter of getting your meds right.
I think that's really important, because I hear that quite a lot, because you get things like Keparage and things like that mm-hmm. different types of medication. But one thing to always remember for anyone listening is that there are lots and lots and lots of different seizure medications that you can try. So if you are on a seizure medication that you're having really bad side effects, do talk to your medical team, because they can change. They can give you combinations. They can give you different drugs. There isn't just one size fits all medication. You may have to change 2, 3, 4, 5 times to find either a type of medication that suits you or a combination of different types of medication that can control your seizures.
Since I started lamotrigine, as well as Keppra, because I used to have really bad Keppra rage, mm-hmm. since I've steadily increased lamotrigine, I've noticed I've been far better person to be around.
Keppra rage is not your thing, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, no.
Horrible. I hate it. And another thing with the seizure meds, I had a conversation last year, with my doctor about how your anti-seizure meds can affect, like, if you were, well, for girls, like, to get pregnant and stuff, and how often we need to change our meds, and Keppra is one of the ones that they try and get you off.
Oh really?
Or it's not dangerous, but they'd like rather you weren't on Keppra and you were on something else. So they would try and lower the dose, and they wouldn't tell me for years. They're like, you're too young, you don't need to worry about this. And then last year I just pushed and said, I want to know, tell me everything, I need to know now. So they talked to me about everything. They told me what was going on, they explained how the meds would work. And so I thought, well, as well as hating Keppra anyway, why don't I just start coming down on it now? And then I don't have to, when I'm pregnant, deal with the side effects of coming down.
And also pregnancy, yeah.
Even though that's years ahead.
Did you find like changing medication started more seizures? Because obviously you can't just go from full dose of one to full dose of another. Like, did you have seizures in the interim kind of?
I wouldn't say I noticed anything massively different because of it.
Because I'd say like Keppra is like my main drug. I've been on it since the start. So I don't know. I don't know how you'd come off something without having
a seizure. What dose are you on now?
2 grams twice a day, which apparently is the maximum.
So you'd be a lot of a bigger jump than me.
Okay.
Especially if you've been on it for a really long time, your body's going to take a lot more to adjust to it. But it doesn't mean you can't do something like that if you chose to. They'd help you.
Can I ask, Jess, when you say you spoke, who are you speaking to? Is it your GP or was it your neurosurgeon team at the hospital? Just for others who may be in the same situation.
A bit of everyone, really. It was mostly my neurologist because I just rang him up and I thought, I need to just talk to you about this because I need to do something.
Just out of curiosity, I just wonder how many of you have an epilepsy nurse?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the guy I spoke to.
Is epilepsy nurses in Leeds?
I have an epilepsy nurse. Touch base in maybe 6 months just to kind of make sure everything's kind of staying as is.
And to you, Kate, did you say?
Well, there's epilepsy nurses in Leeds who I've rung a few times and they're helpful. They're like my first point of call of anyone I could ring, like of my own free will, without, I don't know, getting in touch with the hospital and saying, can you pass a message to Dr. Whatever?
Because I think that's important to know as well, that there are an epilepsy team, because getting hold of your neurologist, it's almost impossible sometimes, but having that point when your biggest issue tends to be your seizures, once you've got to this stage, that having a direct route to somebody, because if somehow it changes, your medication is not holding you anymore, the dose you're on, you're finding you're starting to get an increase of seizures or whatever, then being able to talk that through with your epilepsy nurse and being able to up your meds quite easily or change your meds quite easily, that's quite important to keeping things stable.
Just for me, or for anyone listening who doesn't really know about seizures, what would be your advice maybe to someone who's listening to this for the first time thinking, I may have had one, or I may be having one, or my loved one may have had one? What would be your sort of, your, if you're sitting down and saying, right, this is what to look out for, but also this is what the future can hold for you?
Understanding it was a big one for me. For a long time, because I was plus as a child, they wouldn't tell me anything. And I think keep pushing and get them to tell you, because when you understand it, it's like you've got a handle on it. Like, even if it sucks, even if you're going to have these side effects, knowing what they are makes them easier to deal with. So just get a grip on what it is, even if it's horrible, essentially. Ask questions, find out so you know. And then you can figure out, right, okay, this is going to happen. This is not going to be pleasant. This is how I'm going to be able to deal with it.
When you go for jobs and things, do you tell people that you have these seizures, or is it kind of a, I don't think, particularly for you, Jess and Kate, where you're not having, it's different, Reese, I think they can't, it's unavoidable if you're having the full grand mal seizures. But I'm guessing from what you've both said, Kate and Jess, that you could kind of blag it that people wouldn't necessarily know, like straight away. Do you tell people, or do you, I just hope that they don't notice initially?
I wouldn't tell anyone initially because I don't think it affects the level of work that I could do. But I think when I got a job, if I had to talk to like my boss or somebody about health so that they had a disclaimer, then I would probably tell them. But with my first job, I didn't tell anybody because I'd already started the work there. I've been there a couple of years anyway. And then I had to tell them because I had one at work. And I had to try and explain what was going on whilst I was having one. And I just had to keep saying, don't panic, just wait, okay, it'll go away. Just, and then like, what's going on? I'm having a seizure, okay, just stay calm, just stay calm. I'm okay.
And what about you, Reese? Have you had to have any conversations like that?
Yeah, so I've been, like I said, slightly collapsed and I then collapsed. I've been out of work since because my tumour started to come back. So they're debating down a nice surgery in Sheffield.
And Kate, you've had experiences with employers, haven't you?
Yeah, I'd tell them because if I had one of my complex bashful ones, I'd have to explain what was happening to me, and I could have one there and then. And then what mainly affects me is the memory side of it, and I need reasonable adjustments, so I have to ask about that.
Is there anything that, any parting sort of words that you would like to say to somebody who maybe is listening to this?
I think I'd say go to the doctors, and even if you had a little seizure and you just felt weird and it wasn't normal for you, kind of demand they look into it, because that's what happens to me. And I blame all the memory damage I have on it now, which mostly affects me the most now, on not being diagnosed quick enough.
So just don't be scared.
That's a really good point, but it's hard sometimes. How do you not be scared?
Yeah.
You've got to find little ways to try and calm yourself down, to think in that moment, especially with what I have, where you are conscious at the same time. I'm just finding ways to stay calm and just breathe. And I literally will talk to myself and sit, look around my room and say, like, that is a hairbrush, that's my TV, that's my table, and just like, you are in this room, you're okay, it will pass. Place myself, and that helps just calm me down, and then it goes away.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Yeah. And Rhys, when you have your seizures, what do you do straight afterwards? Because I know, like you said, it can be really tiring. Presumably you don't always end up being taken to hospital. There must be times when you have a seizure and then you're at home. What happens then?
I usually try and call for some help, but it's weird because my last seizure I had, I tried and called for my parents, but I couldn't get the words out. So I put myself into a covered position. I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm going to have a seizure. It's a weird like type of war type, deja vu type thing. So I put myself into a covered position, so I do have a tonic. Then I'm semi-safe. I'm not going to cut myself or burn myself or whatever. So I lie myself down. I don't fall over. I put myself down the floor, so I'm semi-safe.
What do you do when you come out of it?
I don't know, really, because my parents always found me and it's a paramedics with me. I'm really, really tired. And because I had a stroke, my right, physically, my right side packs up, goes to sleep.
It must be quite scary, I imagine, to suddenly wake up and, although you can't remember what's happened, to suddenly be aware that something has happened.
So, do you have anything with you in terms of like something around your neck or a lanyard or something?
Well, yes, of course. I was going to say about that. Yeah, I have a medical alert bracelet, a necklace. So it just has epilepsy 999/112. Both my parents' telephone number on there.
Do either of you guys have any medical alert bracelets or anything?
I got given a key ring about 2 years ago. I got really upset about it and just threw it away. I didn't want to have it. And this was still when I was very much in like a denial stage. And I just didn't want to know. I don't know. Maybe I should have something, but I don't want.
Kate, what about you?
I don't have anything for day to day, but I quite often go to like big guiding and scouting events, and I bought some wristbands, and they just say I have epilepsy on them, because quite often in the past I've been mistaken for being drunk, and like I've never worn it and had one, so I don't know how it would make a difference. But yeah, I think if someone saw it, because I've never seen one of mine, but what other people describe, it would just look weird, and it could be anything. I could be drunk or on drugs or just weird.
Now that the weather's getting nice and warm, do you guys still go on holiday? Can you fly when you've had seizures, that sort of thing? Does it affect that, or can you just pretty much carry on as normal? If you want to go to Europe, say, or fly somewhere, you can do that?
Something I'm yet to do. Is
it plucking up the courage, or is it just because you haven't had the chance?
It's because I don't know what's going to happen. It's mainly because there's going to be pressure change. And because I've got hydrocephalus and a shunt in, that's what I'm considering the most, and whether that's going to bring on a seizure when I'm on a plane, which I don't want.
Does having seizures put you off doing things? Are there things now that, because you don't want to, like you said, you don't want to do something that's going to bring on a seizure, or because it's some, you know, the fear of having a seizure almost stops you doing things now?
To an extent, but when I was talking to my neurologist, my epilepsy person recently, we were talking about seizures and things. I was saying, I don't want to do this. I want to live my life. And he said, well, it depends what you're willing to risk. And yeah. I was like, okay, thank you. Like, I just want to live my life.
Yeah, I mean, I used to scuba dive, but obviously having epilepsy now as a result, I had to give it up because like 20 meters below water and you have a seizure, it's not going to really be ideal. So a bit of a shame, really.
Are you, Kate? Have you been sort of, do you go on holidays at all? Or
I've flown since I was diagnosed, didn't have a problem. I've only flown twice. We don't normally go abroad anyway. So, but yeah, nothing. I didn't notice anything. And I don't think it even occurred to me to be worried about it.
Oh, that's a good thing.
I don't know.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Thank you all so much for coming on and talking to us. It's been great.
Yeah, cheers, guys. It's been brilliant. And I think my takeaway from this is that, you know, the more you know about it, the better you can probably cope with it. So, you know, ask lots of questions. And you know, generally there is hope if you have seizures. It's not the end of everything. So thanks, guys. That's given me a really good insight into the whole subject.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. If you'd like more information, you can visit our website at thebraintumorcharity.org or email our support team at support@thebraintumorcharity.org. And finally, before you go, if you enjoyed this podcast, please can you leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts so we can reach more people and raise more awareness.
Hi, I'm Tamsin and I work in the individual giving team at the Brain Tumour Charity. Thank you for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with a brain tumour and are worried about your finances, the Brain Tumour Charity's Benefits and Money Advice Clinic, run in partnership with Citizens Advice, is here to help you. Our expert advisors can help you access the financial support you're entitled to, as well as give advice on how to make the most of your money. To make an appointment with our Benefits and Money Advice Clinic, visit our website at thebraintumorcharity.org/money or call our support team on 0808 800 0004.